नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद शद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as Transcendental Knowledge or Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. And I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. Krishna in the third chapter discussed about Kama Karma Yoga. And after teaching the science of Nishkama Karma Yoga, Krishna in this chapter, he continues that discussion by telling, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. He says that, my dear Arjuna, whatever knowledge that I have imparted to you, I had imparted the same knowledge to Vivasvan. And Vivasvan spoke it to Manu, Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku, and so on. In this way, the knowledge, continued. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu sakalene hamhata yogo nashta parantapa. So in this way, the saintly kings understood and received this knowledge in disciplic succession. But by the influence of powerful time, this disciplic succession was broken. And therefore, Sayevayam Mayatedya Yoga Pokta Puratanaha Bhaktosime Sakacheti Rahasyam Hyetaduttamam. Because you are my devotee and friend, I have spoken this yoga unto you. Because you are qualified to receive and start a new parampara. So Arjuna at this point, even though he knows about the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, he asks this question about Krishna speaking this knowledge to Vivasvan, that people may develop trust in the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita because it is spoken by no ordinary person who takes ordinary and who performs ordinary activities. Therefore, Arjuna says, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katametad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. So he says, actually you appeared after Vivasvan. How am I to understand that, you spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan? So Krishna says, बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव च अर्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि नत्वं वेत्त परंतप. माय डियर अर्जुन, मेनी मेनी बर्थ्स यू एंड आई हैव पास्ड व्हाइल आई रिमेंबर एवरीथिंग यू डू नॉट रिमेंबर एनी. इंडिकेटिंग दैट दैट कृष्णा अपियर्ड टुक मेनी मेनी बर्थ्स, indicating in many different avatars he appeared and instructed this knowledge. And in one of his avatars, he instructed this knowledge to Vivasvan also. Krishna knows and remembers all these appearances because Krishna is omniscient. And Arjuna does not remember, not because he is covered by Mahamaya, but because Yogamaya covers the memory of Arjuna for the purpose of his pastimes. Okay. So then Krishna speaks about the transcendental nature of his birth. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutan ishwaropisan prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. So he says six aspects of his birth. He says ajaha, I am unborn. Okay. So someone may say, what is the big deal? Even the Jivatma is unborn. But then he says, Avyayatma, Avyayatma means, yes, but I have an indestructible body, but the Jivatma cannot claim it. And a conditioned soul cannot claim it. But a liberated soul can claim that, okay, I also have Avyayatma. I am also Avyayatma. But then he says, Bhutanam Ishvara. I am the Lord of all the Jivas. No Jiva, either conditioned or liberated, can claim that he is the Lord of all the Jivas. Only Krishna can claim that. Prakritim Swam Adishtaya. And he says that Prakritim Swam Adishtaya Sambhavami. I appear with my own body. With my own body, he says. Whereas the ordinary conditioned souls, it is not Swam Prakriti, it is not their Prakriti. It is material nature's Prakriti. Atma Maya, by Krishna appears by his own energy, means by his internal energy. So which means Krishna's birth and no birth is both his Swarupa, is both cutted by his Swarup Shakti. Whereas the Jivatma's no birth is conducted by Krishna's Swarup Shakti, whereas his birth is conducted by Krishna's Maya Shakti. So the Jivatma's birth in this material world is not integral to his Swarup. Whereas Krishna's birth and no birth, both are integral to his Swarupa. And when Krishna appears, he says, Sambhavami, I appear, indicating that I appear by my own will. Whereas when the living entity appears, he is forced to appear by the law of karma. So in this way, Krishna very wonderfully describes his Janma Rahasya, the secret nature of his birth. And then he talks about his Karma Rahasya. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever there is a destruction of dharma or there is a rise in adharma, I manifest my own body. You know, he uses the word srijami. Even though the word srijami will indicate, create, but he already mentioned I have avyayatma, indestructible body. So anything that is created material and it is bound to get destroyed. So because Krishna already said avyayatma, and then he also says atma mayaya and swam prakritim. So all of that indicate that Krishna's body is spiritual. So therefore the word srijami cannot mean create. It has to mean manifest, because spirit is not created. Spirit just manifests. Right? So, therefore, the word Srijami, even though most directly should indicate create, but contextually, the word create will not make sense for Krishna's body. So, therefore, he says, whenever there is a destruction of religion or an increase of irreligion, I manifest my own body. Tada Atmanam Srijamyaham. So, when he appears, he mentions there, for what purpose he appears? Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushkritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So, he appears for what purpose? He says, paritranaya sadhunam, to deliver the sadhus. Okay. So, to deliver the sadhus of what? Are the sadhus suffering? He says, yes. The sadhus are suffering from separation from me. Okay. So, he says, to protect the sadhus, to kill the demons and to establish dharma, I appear. But then the question is, why do you have to appear personally to do it? Can't your Rajarshis and, great devotees, can't they protect the devotees, destroy the demons and establish dharma? Why do you have to personally come? So Krishna says, no, I have to personally come because I come because my devotees suffer due to separation from me, and that can be eradicated by my personal appearance only. And some of the demons like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana cannot be killed any mere mortal. I have to appear to kill them. And also I come to establish the dharma of bhakti, which essentially I will have to come and do it. And he says, janma karma chame divyam evam yo vedatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanmaneti mameti so arjuna. So he says, he who understands in truth the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, on giving up his body, he does not take birth again and attains me. So therefore, divya means transcendental, spiritual, uncommon, like that. So Krishna's birth was mentioned to be very uncommon because, you know, ajopisan navyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan swam prakritim adishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. You know, these are like very unique and uncommon. His activities are also uncommon, you know. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So therefore, one who understands in truth that Krishna's birth and activities are truly eternal, such a person, on giving up this body, will not attain this material world again. He will attain Krishna. So, then someone may say that, oh, this seems very easy. Okay, I accept that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental, eternal, spiritual. Okay, so, so I will not chant, and I don't have to necessarily chant or do any sadhana, right? Anyway, I have accepted Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental, so I should attain his abode. You know, this is much more easier. Why ask me to chant 24 hours a day, avoid offenses and all these things? You know, just acceptance of Krishna's birth and activities to be eternal and transcendental is sufficient. So, Krishna says, yeah, yeah, it is sufficient. But just that, there are symptoms of internalizing this truth. One who has internalized this truth, who has really understood the birth and activities of Krishna to be eternal, transcendental and spiritual, there are some symptoms. What are the symptoms? Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashritaha bhavo jnana tapasa puta bhavam agataha. So such a person, he gives up, he would be free of attachment to this material world. Yeah, free of attachment to any you know, non-Krishna conscious ideologies and philosophies. And he would not be fearful of people who speak those ideologies because he himself would be so firmly rooted in proper Krishna conscious conclusions. And he will be free from anger, vita krodha, towards the demons, because he would be so absorbed in hearing and chanting Krishna's name, fame, qualities, pastimes, etc. Manmaya. So such a person will, one who really understands and internalizes this truth about Krishna's birth and activities, he will be absorbed in hearing and chanting. And he would take full shelter of Krishna. You know, so these are the symptoms. Even who is not taking full shelter of Krishna, who is not constantly engaged in hearing and chanting, and who is actually affected by attachment, fear and anger, such a person has not actually internalized this truth about the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. So, and then he says that it is not very easy. Jnana tapasa puta. So, jnana tapasa puta means such a person would have been purified by the austerity of knowledge. So, purified by the austerity of knowledge means for every right understanding of the scriptural statements, there may be 10 different apasiddhantic bogus understanding. So one has to consciously give up those bogus understanding and accept only the upper parampara explanations. That is the meaning of jnana tapasa puta. So that is the point. You know, jnana tapasa puta means, you know, even though there may be many, many fancy explanations that many people may give, but you have to stick to the proper parampara explanation. Okay. And not look outside the parampara. So that is austerity. Because sometimes what is explained in parampara may be not so attractive and boring. And we know, we may want to search here and there to various so-called, you know, Vedic or maybe even non-Vedic understandings, you know, which may be very, very attractive. So, but despite those being so attractive, if one consciously gives up those kind of temptations and strictly sticks to the parampara teachings, being very chaste to the teachings of the parampara, then he can attain action and attain my nature. Puta madbhava magata, attain love for Krishna. So like that. So then, Arjuna asks, okay, Krishna, people who accept your form to be transcendental, your activities to be transcendental, okay, they will attain tektva deham punarjanma nameti. They will not take birth again and they will attain you. What about, how do you reciprocate with persons who may not surrender to you that way? You know, so who may not fully surrender unto you, who may not necessarily accept your birth and activities to be eternal, but may still sort of worship you, how would you reciprocate with them? Krishna says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartate manushyaha partha sarvashaha. So he says, tam stateva bhajamyaham. I respond to persons, Ye yata mam prapadya. According to the amount they surrender unto me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. All men follow my path, O son of Prita, he says. So, how does Krishna reciprocate with various kinds of people? So, Sri Vishnu Jagadakur mentions here, in whatever way they worship me, I also give them the fruits of their worship in an appropriate manner. Now, what is the meaning of this? So, the meaning is that those who think that Krishna's birth and activities are eternal, okay, and they desire to participate in those pastimes in a particular rasa, Krishna reciprocates by making them his associates and give them an appropriate form with which they can reciprocate with Krishna in that same rasa that they are aspiring after. Okay. So he gives them prema and allows them to interact with them in a particular rasa that they are aspiring after. Okay. एंड देर मे बी अदर्स लाइक ज्ञानीस, ज्ञानीस आर योगीस हु मे सरेंडर टू कृष्णा, बट सरेंडरिंग टू कृष्णा दे मे थिंक कृष्णाज बर्थ एंड एक्टिविटीज टू बी टेम्पररी, ओके, एंड दे मे थिंक कृष्णाज डीटी फॉर्म्स टू बी मेटीरियल. So how does Krishna reciprocate with them? Krishna reciprocates them by perpetuating their stay in this material world. They continue to stay in the material world in the noose of Maya. Repeated birth and death. Okay. Because this is appropriate, because how can a person who himself has a material body which is temporary bestow Rishipar a spiritual body which is eternal? So this jnani wants an eternal body and an eternal abode, and he is worshipping the Supreme Lord thinking that the form is temporary. So it is unreasonable that a person possessing a temporary body, a material body, awards spiritual eternal body to the jnani, or and spiritual eternal abode or destination to the jnani. So Krishna does not reciprocate; he perpetuates their stay in this material world. Okay. So now, but there are other jnanis who are aspiring after liberation, but accept Krishna's form to be Sachidananda Vigraha. Eternal spiritual form. So in that case, then Krishna liberates those jnanis by destroying their gross body and subtle body and giving them the bliss of Brahman. So depending on their mode of worship, their level of surrender, Krishna reciprocates. That is the meaning of ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Okay. So he says that therefore, not only devotees surrender to me, but rather everyone, all men, jnanis, karma yogis, karmis, yogis, and worshippers of the devatas, they all follow my path either directly or indirectly. Yepi anvata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidipurvakam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. All these worshippers of devatas actually worship me only improperly. Like that Krishna says. Okay. So, and then he says that mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. Everyone in this material world is following my path only. What is the meaning of that? Krishna says, jnana, karma and other processes are all my path, since I am the essence of all those paths. Like that. Okay. So then, he says, kaṅkṣataha karmanām dim yajanta iha devatāha kṣipraṁ hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So he says that among men, karmanām siddhim kaṅkṣa, those desiring results from their work, material results from their work, yajanta iha devatā, they worship the devatās, karmaja siddhir kṣipraṁ bhavati. And the results coming from such actions appear quickly. So, many times, this verse is taken to indicate that if you want material results, if you worship the devas, you will get it very fast. If you worship Krishna, you will get it very slow. People tend to understand this verse in this way, but this is not the meaning of the verse. The meaning of this verse is, if you want material results, you will get it quickly. But if you want transcendental results, it will take time. Okay, that is what this means. Okay, any transcendental result will take time. Any material result may come quickly. So people who want material results quickly, they worship the devatas. And they get the results quickly, not because of worshipping the devatas, but because they are aspiring only for a material result. Okay. But for the same material result, if they worship Krishna, they will get it even faster, and also they will get purification because of worshipping Krishna. So this is the understanding. One should not think that, oh, if I want material result, then if I worship the devata, I will get it fast. That's not what it means. Okay. Essentially, it means that the path of karma gives quick results, but pravritti marga is fast, but nivritti marga is slow. That is the essential meaning. Okay. So results of pravritti marga is fast, but the results of Nivritti Marga is slow. That is what this verse means. And those who are on the Pravritti Marga have a good chance of approaching devatas for fulfillment of their desires. But those who want material results can approach Krishna also. Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradihi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. So, a Sarvakami approach Krishna also. Okay. So, that is the point. So, I think this is where we ended last time. Yeah, this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take some. Anything anyone would like to share as add? Yes, I am not sure if it's Shyamlal Prabhu or Shyamji Madhavi.
Hare Krishna, Dandat Prabhu ji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. So, just a little clarification on how Krishna is saying that all paths lead to me.
He doesn't
And
say that. So Krishna
means.
says, all are my paths, he says, but he does not say all paths lead to me. He does not say that. All paths have been devised by me, but he does not say all paths lead to him. You know, there's a difference between the two. So I will just read the Mama Vartmanu Vartante. So here he says, I will just read. Where is it? Yeah. Jnana, karma, and all other processes are all my path, he says. Since I am the essence of all those paths, but that does not mean jnana, karma, and everything will lead to Krishna. This is one understanding. But another understanding is, if you can say, karma yoga will purify, then Jnana Yoga will lead to, or Ashtanga Yoga will lead to liberation in impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and that Brahma Jyoti is non-different from Krishna. So in that sense, you can say that all are following my path. But here he includes worshippers of Devata also. So that is improper worship of Krishna. I mean, that path also is mentioned in the Vedas. So therefore, everyone is following my path means everyone is following a path which has been chalked out by me, rather than everyone is following a path which will lead to. He does not say that.
Okay, fine, fine, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you for
Hare
that
Krishna.
clarification.
Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. I thought maybe one more hand was up. Probably it was Sachi Pran Prabhu, but I think Sachi Pran Prabhu is probably traveling and he has, I think, internet issues. Okay, maybe when he joins, if he raises his hands, we will see. Okay. So let us continue our discussion now. Then Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. So Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. The four varnas were created by me. According to what? Guna, karma, vibhagashah. According to the distinctions of quality and work. Guna, quality, karma, work. So he says, four varnas were created by me according to the distinctions of quality and work. Tasya mam kartaram api. Even though I made the system, Vidhi, you should know that avyayam, I being undeviating and impartial, is akartaram. I am also detached from the system. So Krishna here, we will first see what Krishna is telling here. Then we will try to see why Krishna is telling this here. What is the connection? Okay. First, we will see what Krishna is telling here. So Krishna first says, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam. I created the four varnas. On what basis? Guna Karma Vibhagashah. According to the distinctions of quality and work. So Prabhupada often says that the varna is not based on birth. Varna is based on quality and work. But in one sense, what is birth based on? What is birth actually based on? Birth is actually based on guna and karma only. Right? So whatever karma you do in your previous lives and whatever gunas you accumulate, based on that only you will get your birth. Right? So therefore, is varna determined at the time of birth? Yes, very much. No doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. But further, whether the proper association one takes, proper samskaras one follows to retain that varna or not, that is up to them. Okay. So that way, varna is not decided purely on birth. So, but definitely, when we say Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskaratu Bhave Dvija, you know, the improper understanding of that verse is that everyone is a born Shudra. It is not like that. So, now one understanding is, dekho, by birth, everyone is a Shudra. किसी को आप ब्राह्मण संस्कार करेंगे तो वो ब्राह्मण बन जाएगा, किसी को आप क्षत्रिय संस्कार करेंगे तो वो क्षत्रिय बन जाएगा, किसी को वैश्य संस्कार करेगा तो वैश्य बन जाएगा, वैसा नहीं है. इट इज नॉट लाइक दैट. जन्मना जायते शूद्र मीन्स अकॉर्डिंग टू बर्थ एवरीवन डेफिनेटली टेक्स अ बर्थ बिकॉज ही हैज गेन्ड पर्टिकुलर गुणास एंड कर्मा फ्रॉम प्रीवियस लाइफ. सो a particular child has either brahminical inclinations or kshatriya inclinations or vaishya inclinations or shudra inclinations, and accordingly he takes shelter of appropriate parents generally. Okay, but post birth there has to be particular activities, samskaras performed, and also you know, particular ambience has to be provided to the child to nourish that varna. If such a kind of nourishment is not provided and samskaras are not performed, then the child's natural varna will not be nourished and he may naturally degrade and glide to be a shudra. Okay. So therefore, when Prabhupada says, varna is not determined by birth, the meaning is not that birth has nothing to do with varna. It is only guna and karma. It is not like that. Actually, because You cannot separate guna and karma from birth. Birth itself is decided for ordinary people. Birth is decided by their guna and karma only. Okay. So chaturvarnyam maya shishtam guna karma vibhagashah does not necessarily indicate that birth has nothing to do with one's varna. That is not correct. So is varnashrama based on birth? You know, to a large extent, yes. You know, to a large extent, yes. But that does not necessarily give one a sense of entitlement based on birth. You know, not in that sense. Because if you say that that it is not at all based on birth, then anyone can become a Brahmana, anyone can become a Kshatriya, anyone can become a Shudra, anyone can become a Vaishya. It is not like that, actually. Okay. That is why, you know, particular sagaras are done to actually fix the varna of that child. Okay. So therefore, chatur varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Many times people say that, look, Krishna says guna karma vibhagashah. He does not say guna karma janma vibhagashah. But the point is, guna karma does not exclude janma, because janma itself is dependent on guna and karma. So Krishna says here, chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. I created the varnas based on guna and karma. Okay. Tasya kartaram api. Even though I am the creator of this system, with the akartaram, you should understand, but that still I am detached from the system because I am avyayam. Because I am very impartial. I am the impartial creator of the system. Like, I am the one who has drafted the traffic rules. You know, if these rules are broken, then he should be, such and such a person should be arrested and imprisoned for so long. You know, I drafted the rules. But you cannot say that some person is suffering because of me. I have nothing to do with punishing that person. Okay, I have nothing against that person. You know, in a neutral way, I have created the rules. Like that here Krishna says. So now the question, so this is in essence what Krishna is telling in this verse. But why all of a sudden Krishna is speaking this verse? Okay. So because till now what Krishna has spoken, Krishna said, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatpataha chakva deham punar janma neti mameti so arjuna. So he says that one who knows the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, he does not take birth again, he attains me. And what is the symptom of such a person? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. So he is from raga bhaya krodha, and he is always chanting and hearing my name. He takes shelter of me, and so on. So then he says that, okay, if people accept your birth and activities to be eternal and spiritual, they will attain you. If they worship you, you know, they will attain you. What about people who may not accept your birth and activities to be eternal, but may still worship you? What about those who may accept your birth and activities to be eternal, but worship you for liberation, perfection of their karma, etc.? What about those who do not worship you, but worship the devatas? So Krishna says, ye yatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmano vartante manushya parshasa. In whatever way one surrenders, I reciprocate. Okay. But still, some people, instead of worshipping me, they worship the devatas. Why? Because they want material results only. They don't want any transcendental results. Therefore, they वर्शिप द देवतास कांक्षतः कर्मणां सिद्धिं यजन्त इह देवता क्षिप्रम हि मानुषे लोके सिद्धिर्भवति कर्मजा. He says, and now suddenly Krishna says, चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टं गुणकर्म विभागशः. So at least 4.9, 10, 11, 12 seems connected. Suddenly in this third verse, why is Krishna talking about his creating the four varnas? Even though he creates the four varnas, but he is still detached from those varnas, being neutral. Why is he suddenly telling this? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions here. So he says, that someone may say, indeed, the paths of bhakti and jnana give liberation, but the path of karma leads to bondage. Therefore, there is some inequality in you, the creator of all paths, the Supreme Lord. This, mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. All people follow my path only. Everything is my path only, Krishna says. So if everything is your path, if you are the creator of the path of bhakti and jnana, and you are the creator of the path of karma also, then you give liberation, either sayujya or personal form, to those who practice bhakti and jnana, but you give only bondage to those who are practicing karma. So why are creating this inequality? Why can't you give why can't you give an eternal result for those who are practicing karma also? You know, why this inequality, someone may ask. So Krishna says, no, that is not so at all. I have created the four varnas for people who want their own enjoyment. So if people want their own enjoyment, I have created the four varnas. The suffix ya in the word chatur varnya indicates self-interest in the four orders. So for those who want their own enjoyment, I have created the four varnas. The brahmanas, predominated by sattva, perform activities such as controlling the senses and mind. The kshatriyas, who are predominated by rajas and sattva, perform actions such as warfare and acts of heroism. The Vaishyas, predominantly tamas and rajas, do farming and raise cows. The Shudras, predominated by tamas, they serve others. I have created this system of four varnas divided according to guna and activity, taking shelter of the path of dharma. Okay. So, he says, know me. He says that, no. So when he says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashaha, he says that even those who want material enjoyment, I have created the four varnas. If people, according to their varna, follow their rules and regulations, they can enjoy. Gradually they can get elevated and they can actually aspire for transcendental results also, right? Because if one properly follows the rules and regulations of one's varnashrama, then gradual purification happens, and gradual purification happens, then one becomes qualified for transcendental results also. So he says, know me as the creator of the system, since it is created from the gunas of Prakriti, which is also my energy. So Krishna is the creator in the sense he is not the direct creator. He has empowered his energy to create actually. So it is his material energy which creates the four varnas. In that way I am the creator. But actually I am not the creator, since my swarupa is beyond the gunas of Prakriti. Because that energy which creates the four varnas is not my swarup shakti, it is my bahiranga shakti, it is my external energy. So therefore, I am the karta in the sense my energy creates. I am the akarta in the sense it is not my personal energy, it is my external energy, bahiranga shakti, like that. So therefore I am said to be indestructible, avyayam. I am not at all similar to the varnas or matter, though I have created them. I am not at all similar to the varnas or matter, though I have created them. Like that. So that is what he says here. So Krishna says that I don't discriminate, and there is no inequality in me. I have equally created varnas, you know, the four varnas, and depending on one's predominating guna and karma, one can choose the varnas, and if they perform the activities properly, then one can get purified, and all of them can aspire for transcendental results. Okay, that's what he says. So this is yeah, any quick discussion points, comments, questions here? Anything anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay, there are two hands up. Sachi Pranru.
Yes, Prabhuji. Dandat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Dandat Pranam.
Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yes.
So, Prabhuji, my point is, as in the previous classes or somewhere else, you mentioned that now there is no, as well, there is Varna. So, in the Kali Yuga, there is no question of Varna. Suppose, even if a child born in a family as a Brahmana, it's not like that he will have Brahmanical qualities. He may have something like Vaishya or Shudra qualities also. So,
yeah, it will be mixed. It's very likely that it will be mixed. But to say that in Kali Yuga, there is absolutely no one who shows pure qualities, that is stretching it too much. It is not like that. Definitely, there are places, you know, if you go to South India, you know, there are many Divya Deshams in remote parts of India, where for centuries, you know, there have been devotees who have been taking care of the temple and various services. And you will see there proper you know, Brahmanas, Vaishyas, all of them, you know, properly, you know, they will marry within their this thing only, and they will stay there. All of them are serving people in different ways. So to say that absolutely it is not there is not correct. But predominantly, it is not there. But still in some places it, you can definitely see it. But it is very, very small percentage.
So, Prabhuji, my point is not that there are no Brahmanas. My point is not that. My point is, suppose one child takes birth in the family, or he has a particular inner nature, it's called Sabhava. And that child may not have, like, right, exactly, I'm not giving example in that case, like, Jadabharat behaved like a madman, although he was a great personality as a Vaishnava. But yeah, he was doing everything opposite because he doesn't want to get attached and entangled here.
Correct.
So then a particular child may be born to a particular member. He has his own he has his own sabhava, his inert nature. We can't change that sabhava by sanskaras actually, because he has carry having some particular nature which we cannot change. Like, we got a mango as a bija. Can we make it an apple or other? No. We can just give us sanskaras, or some sanskaras can be, you know, given. Suppose he born in a family of a Brahmana, there will be some Brahmanical sanskaras will be there definitely on the child. But his inert nature will be as a particular, na? Like, how we can change that?
Well,
Krishna is saying that Chaturvarna Maya system guna karma. So, what gunas, what kind of, you know, qualities that child is showing? So is he taking? Is it any possibility to change that? You know, I was asking at that point. Like,
okay, now my question to you, Prabhu, how did that guna develop in that child? Is it inherent to the soul?
but there is certain qualities like previous birth, like suppose I have done certain kind of sadhana or maybe some practices, or when I am carrying like some kind of, you know, like how a devotee, even if he has not completely purified himself, but next time he take a birth in the family of a devotee. So how the soul carries or body carries?
Okay, I'm sorry, I just lost you. The last 1 minute. Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm saying.
No, I asked you the question. I asked you the question that you said that the a particular soul carries a particular seed. How can that seed change? You know, that seed of gunas. How can it change? You asked. So now I said, how did that jiva get that particular gunas? So is that guna inherent to the soul? I asked, and then I didn't exactly hear your answer.
The soul, suppose soul or the, you know, a certain certain previous birth, he may has, you know, certain characteristics, like he has certain perform, he has some kind of pious activities, or he has performed.
Okay. Yeah. So by performing particular activities, he develops particular qualities, right?
Yeah.
So inherent means not inherent, acquired.
Mm.
Correct? Acquired, mm. It is not inherent. It is acquired by performing activities. Okay.
Mm.
So now, if you continue to perform similar activities in this life, it will get strengthened. That nature will get strengthened. But if due to different, if you don't get the right ambience and right association to perform similar activities, if you do very different activities, that nature will change, na? Because that nature is not inherent to the soul. That nature is acquired nature only. Many times people speak as if one's nature cannot change. It is nothing like that. As if the nature is the nature of the soul. It is not like that. It is the nature of, it is an acquired nature only. And it was acquired in previous births. And whatever nature you acquire in this birth, it will change your past nature. So, Ajamil, how did Ajamil change? How did Ajamil change? He was a Brahmin, na? But after he saw that prostitute, how come his activities did not resemble even little bit Brahminical? How? Did his nature change? His nature changed, yeah, na?
Yeah, there is a change, but the change has happened due to circumstances. Like
I'm telling. Nature develops by circumstances. Nature changes by circumstances. So no one can say nature cannot change.
So, Prabhuji, my point is, suppose a child is born with certain, you know, certain conditioning, whatever you say, the nature conditioning, a particular kind of swabhava, and parents wanted to make it him like a brahmana or something, like, you know, can they make through their external conditioning, can they make the child as a brahmana, although he is having a kshatriya qualities?
No, it is not immediately possible. It is not immediately possible.
Like many parents, so, forcefully they're trying to change, like everyone wants to become a doctor. Doctor child wants to become doctor. Hardly, even if there is an environment in a family of so many doctors, the child may not want to become a doctor at all. He wanted to become some brahmana, wanted to do some puja, or he wants to do something else other than doctor. So how it has come that quality in him? Although the child from the birth, he's seeing the doctor, everything.
No, I agree. You know, all, I agree with your point that we may call it sort of inherent nature, but it is not inherent nature. It is acquired nature only. But because it has been acquired over many lifetimes persistently, it cannot be changed just by few activities in just a few years. It cannot change. So it will take a persistent long effort. It may change. So but generally it does not change. So and the very fact that the child took birth to particular parents is because, you know, the child, it was facilitated by the law of karma, that a child who has particular nature, it needs a particular environment to you know, exhibit that nature and nourish that nature. So birth is not random. Birth is actually properly calculated and so like that. So yes, in one sense, I can understand what you're telling. It's not that you know, a child which has which takes birth predominantly has Shudra nature, just by doing Brahminical samskaras, will the child become a Brahmana? No, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Because the nature is deep rooted, but and maybe that is the reason we call it probably inherent, but it is not inherent nature. It is actually acquired nature only. But because that acquired nature is very deep, therefore by doing certain superficial samskaras, you know, that deep nature cannot be immediately removed and replaced with another nature. That is not possible. It is not that easy. Mm. But having said that, I will not agree that nature cannot change. Mm. But nature cannot change that easily.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, my point is not really like a parent usually take a role of a gardener. The gardener has only, you know, to protect or fence or, you know, to nourish. Gardener may not, you know, fail the plant. Gardener may not able to change the, you know.
I understand your point, bro.
Yeah.
I understand your point, so, but understanding the context, I can say what you say is right. But actually, like say for example, if a child is born with a Brahminical, let's say, little bit nature, I'm a little bit uncomfortable calling it exactly seed, because this seed is certainly genetically modifiable seed. So this is not that clean, actually. You know, you cannot say that, oh yeah, it is a mango seed, only mango will come. Not necessarily. It is not like that. So it is a genetically modifiable seed, because the seed itself got developed through experience in the material world only. So further experience will actually, depending on what kind of experience he gets, you know, it may change also. So Ajamil became, he developed almost like a Shudra nature only. So because of his experience. So many times people call it as if it is like that kind of a seed which will never change. It is not like that. There is only one seed like that. That is the jiva itself is that seed. The jiva's nature will not change. Rest is all conditioning only. That conditioning can change by experience. So therefore, a Brahminical child, if he grows up in an area which is filled with unfavorable non-Brahminical ethos all around, you know. Definitely, like you do see examples of, you know, when I was in the United States, forget about United States, in India only, I went to a boarding school. So where, like myself, there were other friends also who were from Brahminical background. There were Vaishnava students who used to join. Who had never in their home even cooked onion and garlic. So, but I've seen all of them 1 year, 2 years maximum time, they will change into non-vegetarian and start eating all kinds of meat. So it is all, you know, you cannot say exactly. So I feel little comfortable calling it seed. I would say, you know, a particular corpus, I would say. But that corpus also can diminish, or that corpus can get enhanced. So I feel little uncomfortable calling it a seed, because it is not exactly a seed like that.
Thank you, Prithi. Another question on the previous Shloka Prithi. About Vedatama Prapadante. So, the point I want to say that in a particular person may not be a pure devotee, but sometimes, you know, Krishna sees that particular soul, you know, his inclination, and can change that path. Like, suppose a devotee is, although he doesn't have that pure love for Krishna, so Krishna helps him to, you know, go towards the purity rather than what he is demanding. Like, he may demand for enjoyment, so Krishna may not give that part of particular taste in that enjoyment, and ultimately he wanted that particular soul to come to him. So how it exactly is Ayatamam Prapadante? Like, sometimes
Krishna doesn't do that. Krishna doesn't do that.
Krishna's energy, that Krishna's Maya Shakti takes the role of that particular.
If he wants something, he will pursue that only. Unless Krishna's devotee comes to him and changes his heart. Desire means Abhilasha Rupi desire or Anartha Rupi desire. So, if it is an Abhilasha Rupi desire, Krishna does not change. Change it personally. But if it is an Anartha Rupi desire, like for example, a devotee who wishes to pursue some material wealth, you know, Krishna may stop that. Krishna may stop that. So you may say that, "Arey, aise kaise? So ye to apne, you know, Krishna is interfering with that person's free will. No, Krishna is not interfering with his free will. So abhi dekho, if you join a gym and you tell the gym trainer, "Dekho, in 3 months I want to lose 10 kilograms weight." Okay. So you tell the gym trainer, and then the gym trainer says, "Okay, so get on the treadmill, keep running." And after 10 minutes you say, no, "I don't want to run. I want to stop. Stop the treadmill." The gym trainer says, "Nothing doing. I am not stopping the treadmill. Keep running." So now you may say that, I am paying the gym trainer. Why is he? Prabhu, are you traveling?
Yeah, Prabhu. I can meet. I am just traveling. That's why in between there is voice. I just meeting in 10 minutes.
I will just mute you. Yeah, okay. So you may say that, I am paying gym trainer. Why is he? If I am asking him to stop, he should stop. He is not listening to my free will. He said, "No, he is listening to your free will. You told him first in 3 months I want to lose 10 kilograms. Okay, so that you have told, and now you are telling, no, I don't want to run. I want to stop. Now, which is a high free will? You know, which should he respond to? So, what is your primary desire? Your primary desire is actually to lose 10 kilograms in 3 months. Okay. But now, because once you start running on the treadmill, you are not able to muster that stamina, so you want to stop. But the gym trainer knows what you need to lose those 10 kilograms. Therefore, even though you may want to stop, but he knows that you need to run. So that way, Krishna sometimes reciprocates to your primary desire, which is born out of your faith, even though your secondary desire born out of your conditioning may refuse to respond to that. So that way, yayatamam prapadyante is on the level of faith. It's not on the level of one's conditioning. So when the desire is born out of conditioning, Krishna may not reciprocate always. But the desire born out of one's faith, Krishna will definitely reciprocate. Is that relevant to your question, Prabhu? I don't know. Is that Sachipran Prabhu, is that relevant to your question? Okay, I think he is probably.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. Point is like there is an example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who is trying to, you know, get attracted to a prostitute. But Krishna changed the entire path and that same prostitute becomes his guru, Chintamani. So what exactly it looks like? Is it an Ayathamam Prapadanti in that way? Because he was getting attracted to a prostitute because of his identity.
So in that, he actually, Bilwa Mangal Thakur had a guru by the name Somagiri, from whom he had learnt actually spiritual subject matter. Okay. So just that, in between, he got really sort of distracted from that. Due to his attraction to that Chintamani. But then that Chintamani, through Chintamani, actually Somagiri reminded him of Krishna, and then he got that inspiration. So definitely there was intervention of devotee. Krishna did not transform Chintamani into a devotee. Chintamani already had, she may have been a prostitute, but she was a devotee. So she was a devotee. Somagiri, he already had a guru. And, in some of his Mangalacharan prayers, he glorifies Somagiri also in his prayers. So, therefore, definitely there was intervention of devotee in reminding him. So his Bilwa Mangal Thakur's attachment to Chintamani was an attraction on the level of his conditioning only. Whereas in reality, due to his association with Somagiri, he was actually a devotee. Is that relevant to?
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Right. Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, I mean, we understand this caste system that was there. As you said, the soul comes with his own, every soul comes with his own baggage. So, takes birth according to whichever set of parents are comfortable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've seen that history shows us how because people blindly followed the caste system, things just downgraded. I mean, people who are not qualified as Brahmanas and people who are not qualified as Kshatriyas, they call themselves Brahmanas or whatever, and they ruined the entire system of the Sanatan Dharma that was previously existing.
Correct.
So, how do we reconcile with this when we say that it is also through somebody born in a family of Brahmanas or born in a family of Kshatriyas need not have all the qualities, right? Because we see in Mahabharata how Shantanu was not the son of King Bharat, but he was made the king because he saw that the best qualities are there in this person.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. So I'm hearing my own voice. I will just mute it for a while. Mute you. See, actually, I do understand. You know, I definitely expected this question. The problem was not with the people stopped doing the essential samskaras and stopped creating appropriate ambience for nourishing this thing. So that is why it started degrading. So a Brahmana's son, slowly he was lesser and lesser of a Brahmana, lesser and lesser of a Brahmana, because they stopped performing a few samskaras, they stopped performing, practicing a profession that was conducive for that particular varna, and slowly over a period of time, it became just by birth, even though, along with birth, the other things are needed. So I agree with your point. So the solution is not to say that no, varna is no longer, birth does not determine the varna at all. That is not the solution. So the solution is actually to ensure that if people with particular inclinations, they get married and they beget a child. So if they, so then the child should, all the proper samskaras should be done, and a particular profession which is conducive to that particular varna should be practiced, so that it can be further enhanced. Otherwise, birth itself is not random, Naru. Birth is not random. If you say birth does not determine it, the varna is not determined by birth, then is birth random? That for Shudra parents, Krishna will randomly give a Brahmanically inclined child, and for two Kshatriya parents, Krishna will randomly, or the law of karma will randomly give Vaishya inclined child. It's not like that. But subsequently, what happened, how the system broke, like Krishna says, Sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. So how the system broke was that people who took birth in such Brahmanical families or Kshatriya families, they stopped doing samskaras, they stopped performing the occupation that was meant for that particular varna. Then slowly that nourishment of that varna stopped. So slowly they become malnourished. And on top of that, if there is, so nourishment happens by birth, whatever is there by birth, that is nourished by samskaras, and that is nourished by association and occupation. So occupation, association, and samskaras, these three nourish the varna. So one may take up, one may not perform samskaras. One may have, a Brahmanical child may have non-Brahmanical association, and he may perform a non-Brahmanical occupation. So what happens? There is no nourishment through samskaras, there is no nourishment through occupation, and there is no nourishment through association. So that varna becomes very malnourished, and to a large extent it may become nourished in a different direction also. But still, by birth he is a Brahmana only, so he will get married. So even though he has gotten married and he is by birth a Brahmana, he is no longer a brahmana by qualities, because none of those qualities were nourished by samskaras or association or occupation. So he will now marry, and he will beget a child, which will technically be called a brahmana child, because he is born to a so-called brahmana father, who was probably brahmana by birth, but eventually by his profession and samskaras and or lack of samskaras and association, you know, he was no longer the kind of pakka brahmana. So this child also, because he is no longer a pakka brahmana, when he gets married, you know, definitely a pakka brahminical child will not be attracted to that person, right? So some kind of mixed baby will only be attracted, and further he will not do any samskaras. Okay, so then it becomes degraded like that. That's how it got degraded. But otherwise, certainly when properly practiced, you know, birth definitely has a role to play. Otherwise, if you say birth has no role, then if there are brahmana father and mother, okay, and if they beget any child, let's say you say, so what samskara should they do to him? Or do you mean to say that whatever samskara they do, that varna, that child will become? Is it like that? It is not like that. So certainly birth has a role, but the only problem is, without considering nourishment of that varna through occupation and association and samskaras, to claim that varna is purely based on birth, that is wrong. So is that relevant? Or is that relevant to your question, Shyamlalpo?
Let me ask you the reverse way.
Okay.
Now, supposing brahmanas are downgrading, isn't it possible that some souls may take birth in the family of Shudras and then get upgraded because of positive association? Like we see in Narad Muni's case, he's giving, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, he says, I got association with the Bhaktivedantas, and by eating their remnants, things just changed. He was not a brahmana by birth. But
he was a devotee. You don't have to be a brahmana to become a devotee.
So, of course, my question is, the qualities that he developed were definitely brahminical, no?
Yeah, but that brahminical qualities did not develop through brahminical samskaras. They developed due to devotional service. So, that is what we hear. Aho bata shvapachato gariyan yajjikvagre vartate namatubhyam. So, those kind of verses indicate that, yeah. So it's not that when he came in touch with the Bhaktivedantas, he developed brahminical qualities because they were brahmanas. No. He developed brahminical looking qualities, which were developed due to his development of devotional service. So that is a whole different discussion. So now, can a child with... So now we are not talking about bhakti at all. We are talking purely about varnashrama. So can a shudra child by brahminical samskaras and a brahminical association and a brahminical profession, can he become a brahmana? Is that your question?
Yes.
Well, I am not an expert in this, but I am not very sure about it also. It may theoretically be possible, but whether it is possible in one lifetime only, that I do not know. My gut feeling says it must not be possible. So that way then everyone can be made into brahmana like that, you know. I am not an expert in this, but my gut feeling says probably it is not that easy. But if one takes up to devotional service, but of course that also you force it on the child. The child, if he has Sukriti, then he will accept devotional service. You cannot say, "Arey wah, I will make the child take up devotional service and immediately he will develop all good qualities." Well, that can at the most be wishful thinking only, because whether the child, how much Sukriti he has, we do not know. So therefore, definitely one thing that we can do is, if we already know the varna of the child, then we can do appropriate samskaras and appropriate association and try to nourish the existing varna. But to completely change a varna of the child by giving opposing samskaras and opposing association will that quickly will the varna of the child change? I am not very sure about it. I am not sure if it is so easy. Degradation may be easy, but upgradation, how easy it will be, I don't know. Sattva, from tamas to rajas to sattva is difficult. But from sattva to degrade to rajas tamas is very easy. So degradation is always easy. Like if you climb down the stairs is easy. To climb up is difficult. So definitely a Brahmana child by not doing any samskaras and by unfavorable association can very quickly degrade to having the qualities of a Shudra. But for a Shudra child, born with that kind of qualities, just by merely changing the samskaras, to elevate him to Brahmana in a short time, I don't think it is possible. Maybe not. I that's what I feel. I am not an expert again.
Okay, so we leave it at that. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Shyamli has it.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Prabhuji. I had a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So just this point, just to confirm my understanding. So if we want to go from one guna to another, it is only possible by performing devotional service, right?
One guna to another. I mean, by performing devotional service, you will certainly not go from sattva guna to tamo guna.
No, if you want to progress, that's what I meant.
Progress, yeah, of course. So if you want to progress from tamoguna or rajoguna to sattvaguna and eventually sattvaguna to shuddha sattva, that is possible by devotional service. But I won't say it is possible only by devotional service. It is possible by a proper practice of varnashrama system also. But it is gradual, more gradual there.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, my original question was related to the earlier, the path verse. So, how do we account for different religions then? Like, does Krishna say that if, those paths are his too, if there is surrender in that path?
Yes, definitely. Why not? Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so that is included. Different religions are included in, it's not just the Vedic system.
Yeah, because definitely many of these kind of principles are there in other religions also. That's how our Acharyas write. There is the karma thread, the jnana thread, the bhakti thread. These are there in Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and all of that. That's why you have sincere practicing devotees in Christianity. You may have karma yogis or karmis in Hinduism also, in the Vedic religion also. So you may have very, very nicely dedicated devotees in Christianity and Islam also. So therefore, I mean, I'll just try to find that out. I read it somewhere. Mother Teresa, when she was leaving her home country, I forgot which her home country was, somewhere in Europe. She was sitting in the ship which was bound to India, and she writes, poems, glorifying Jesus Christ. And anyone who, I mean, I remember reading it sometime recently, maybe a few years back. Very powerful devotional writing it is actually. It almost sounded like a pure devotional poetry only. So those strands are there in other religions also, and definitely reciprocation will come. So that is how Maharaj, if you read His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's biography, very clearly you can see that Maharaj writes that any sincere practitioner of a particular religion will be able to identify sincere practitioners across all religions actually. So yes, why not? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly writes in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita that one should stop seeing these external things, what name they call the absolute truth, what language they speak, what of external rituals they may practice. But a Saragrahi Vaishnava sees the essence. When he sees that love of God in their practice, he will be able to see love of God, he will be able to see karma, he will be able to see jnana. While neglecting to see the external things actually. So that is actually, so definitely it is possible. This reciprocation is possible in other religions also. We don't say that it is possible only in Vedic religions. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Rauji. Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. One last question and then we will end today's discussion. Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, can you go to that previous slide or the one previous to previous slide?
Which where, verse you tell me, Prabhu?
Verse number 13.
13.
There you mentioned about why Krishna created Varnashram system. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
So here, there is some inequality in you, the creator of all the paths.
Mm-hmm.
This is not so. I have created the four varnas for people who want their own enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what this sentence. What does he mean by saying I have created the four varnas for their own enjoyment? Even without varnas, people can enjoy, no?
Yeah, they can enjoy, but they cannot continue to enjoy because they will not get the favorable karma to continue to enjoy. So if you see from a very external point of view, they want to enjoy, they enjoy. That is, but they are able to enjoy because they have some favorable karma. But if they continue to enjoy on own and not follow their Varnashrama duties, then they will very soon lose the piety which is needed to continue to enjoy actually.
Okay.
So in next life they will go to hell. How they will enjoy?
So Krishna wants them to have continuous enjoyment, is it?
No. If the jiva wants continuous enjoyment, Krishna is willing to facilitate. Krishna wants every jiva to come back to him. But Krishna will not force it upon the jiva. If the jiva wants enjoyment, Krishna is willing to facilitate it through the Varnashrama system.
This is like something like a Karma Mimamsa philosophy. That people who want to enjoy, continuously enjoy, Krishna facilitates them. Then yeah, what is the incentive for the jiva to leave the material world and go to Krishna?
Yeah, that incentive, that appetite is created by the devotees, not directly by Krishna. So,
do you mean to say that people who want to enjoy continuously by following the Varnashrama system, they can continue to, they can perpetually enjoy?
Yeah, they can perpetually enjoy low-grade enjoyment in this material world. And that is, there is...
without earning any papa, only punya, they keep on accruing punya and keep on enjoying.
Yeah, but that is not easy. To avoid papa is not easy. But if someone is so expert that they will very, very carefully and diligently avoid papa and perform only punya. Yeah. So in that case, it's possible. It's not impossible. Definitely possible. Of course, during intermediate, the daily pralaya time, they will have to go and rest inside Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And during the pralaya at the end of Brahmaji's life, they'll be resting inside Karanadakshaya Vishnu's body. And then whenever it is time for creation, they may come out. And if they manage to expertly perform only punya and expertly avoid all papa, then it's possible.
So, varnas have been created for that purpose. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, basically if you want to enjoy, you need punya. And if you want to earn punya, then you should follow your prescribed duties. And when you follow your prescribed duties, you will earn punya, and punya will translate into enjoyment. And later, so slowly, if you become detached from enjoying in this material world, and with a detached way, if you perform your varnashrama duties, then it will lead to purification of heart.
So, Brahmana, by performing Brahmana duties, he can enjoy. A Kshatriya, by performing Kshatriya duties, he can enjoy. Vaishya, by performing Vaishya duties, he can enjoy. A Shudra, by performing Shudra duties, he can enjoy. That's what your meaning.
Yeah, yeah. They will gain piety, basically earn the currency to enjoy, through which they can enjoy.
What does this suffix ya mean, Prabhu?
The suffix ya in the word Chaturvarnya indicates self-interest in the four orders. Which means it indicates that they are selfish. You know, people who want selfish enjoyment, for them he has created the four varanas like that. I mean, I don't know the exact Sanskrit thing to explain it exactly, how it exactly translates into self-interest, but apparently the suffix ya indicates self-interest or in desire to enjoy selfishly. So that is what Chaturvarnya indicates. That's what he says.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we will pause here. And next week, just a quick reminder for you. Next week, we will not have the Friday session. Next week, we will not have any sessions because I'll be traveling to Vrindavan and traveling back from Vrindavan. So next week, we will not have any sessions, classes, afternoon or evening. But the Japa sessions will continue. So those of you who are joining Japa, so you please continue to join. But just the classes will not be there. Just ended for you. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We'll continue this discussion the week after next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.